Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Samach Beis, and we are at the beginning of the fifth perek, the last perek in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. So the topic of the daf for the last week or so has been Yayin Nesach, and really, daf Samach Beis, this last perek, picks up where the last dafin left off, again, Yayin Nesach. So one of the most important rules regarding Yayin Nesach is that Yayin Nesach is also b'shtiyah. It's also asabana. We always say it's in the Mishnah, Daf Chav Tes on Beis. The Mishnah that discusses Dvarim Shaloyev Dekichavim that are asurin, v'isurin iser hana. Zok the Mishnah. If somebody hires a worker, lasois imoy b'Yayin Nesach. So this was a guy who hired a Jewish worker, and his job was to work with Yayin Nesach. Rashi says, we're talking about the real Yayin Nesach, wine that was physically poured, Lavoy Dezara. That wine, of course, is Aser Ba'ana. It's Tikrevis Lavoy Dezara. It's Aser Ba'ana Midai Raisa. A guy hired a Jewish worker to work with the Yayin Nesach. Rashi gives two examples. To pour the Yayin from one barrel to another barrel. To transport barrels of Yayin Nesach from place to place. Either way, if the guy pays the Yid, which presumably he will, the money that the Yid gets for working with the Yayin Nesach becomes also banah. He himself can't have hanah from it. Not just that, if he gives that money to somebody else, that other person won't be able to have hanah from it as well. Meaning the halacha of Yayin Nesach extends itself not only to the Yayin, but it's so chomer that if somebody works with Yayin Nesach and he gets paid for the work that he did, even that money is going to be considered asabana. If the guy hired the Yid to do some other work, and while he's working for him, he says, you know, by the way, the person's doing some work for him in his house. And he says, do you mind moving this barrel of Yayin? And the wine is Yayin Nesach. The halacha over there is Charei Mutter, being that he didn't hire him to work with the Yayin Nesach. So we look at it as if he's not paying him for the Yayin Nesach. Agav, he asked him to do something else for him. In that case, the schar, the money that he gets paid, is going to be mutter. The Gemara is going to explain it. Another halacha, Asleicher, Sechamer Lovi, Yayin Nesach. If somebody rents a donkey, so today we rent cars. Once upon a time, you rented a donkey. And he tells the masker, the soicher does, that the reason I want a donkey is because I have to transport Yayin Nesach. So the halacha is, the one that owns the donkey, that's getting paid for renting out, for leasing his donkey, is charas. He's not allowed to use that money because he's benefiting, albeit indirectly, again, from Yayin Nesach. If somebody came, he rented a donkey. Why do I want a donkey? Just to ride it. And then afterwards, he decided to use it for Yayin Nesach. Even if you put legina yale, you put really big barrels of wine, it doesn't matter. Schara mutter. In that case, the schara is going to be mutter. The same idea as the reisha of the Mishnah. In other words, you see in the Mishnah, very big yisai. Yayin Nesach is also banot. That's a din dairais. It's learned out. Vayitz medu lebal per oir. Vayoichlu mizivche mesim. All tekroives l'avodah zarah. Anything that was offered up to avodah zarah is also banot. The Mishnah says a chiddush, that not only is the tikrovis itself, not only can't you benefit from the wine, but you can have benefit indirectly from the wine. So if the wine is going to be the source, it's going to be the cause of some benefit that you're going to get, even though you're not benefiting directly from the wine, still it's going to be aser. That is the halacha of the Mishnah. Zok to Gemara. My time is scharay aser. I get the halacha, but it needs a makar. What's the pshat? I understand the yayin is aser b'ana, but in this case, if somebody was a worker, he was working for somebody, doing work with Yayin Nesach, and then got paid for the work that he did, l'chura, he's benefiting from the Yayin Nesach, albeit in a real indirect way. And grama is usually considered to be exempt. Grama ben Ezakin is potter. So l'chura, being that he's not benefiting directly from the Yayin Nesach, why is it that he in fact cannot have any hanah from the schar? So are you going to say, maybe the answer is very simple. Maybe the answer is that when the Torah says that something's asabana, what it means is that not only is the thing itself asabana, but you can't have any indirect hanah from it either. So that the schar that you got paid for working with the Yayin Nesach, although it's an indirect hana, but licked in the ikar iser of yisurei hana, that's going to be aser b'ana as well. And l'chura, in this ilema of the Gemara is thinking that maybe the iser hana of the Mishnah is an iser hana deiraisa. Anytime something is aser b'ana, perhaps, says the Gemara, you can't benefit from the thing itself, and you also can't benefit it from it indirectly, such as Scharet. The Gemara says, is that true? Hari Arla, V'kilia Kerem, this precedence that suggests not that way, because Arla and Kilia Kerem, those are two things that are Asabana. V'tanana, we learned in the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah Mesachtes Kedushin. Machron, if somebody had Arla and Kilia Kerem, he sold it. He now has money, V'kidesh b'dmeyem, and he went and was mekadesh in Isha with the money that he got, mekudeshes, Isha niknes b'kesa. So if somebody gives a woman money, this money has a little bit of a history. So if you follow the money, the paper trail, you would know that once upon a time, the groom had Arla, he sold the Arla, got money, took the money, now to be mekadesh in Isha. The halach is that she's going to be mekudeshes. Now really, it's a little bit of a chiddush, because Arla itself, kiliyah kerem itself, is asabana. If something is asabana, in halach, it's deemed to have zero value. If it has no value, even though technically it looks like a $100 bill, it really is not a $100 bill, meaning it doesn't have any value. It's asabana, you can't be mekadesh an isha with it. Stating that, the Mishnah says, it's only the Arla and the Kiliyah Kerem itself that's asabana. But if you sell the Arla and the Kiliyah Kerem, now the money that you got in exchange for it is not asabana, it's mutabana. And it's for that reason that you can be mekadesh an isha with it. It's a Zokta Gemara. And the way Rashi explains it, madoch, if you sell Isurei Hana, the money that you get for what you sold is not considered asabana. The Kalvachayim, if you only do work with Isurei Hana and you get paid for the work that you did, certainly that shouldn't be asabana. And in other words, what you see from that Mishnah, Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, that whenever you have something that's asabana b'deiraisa, what it means is that thing itself is asabana. The Isur is limited to the thing itself. So the Arla is asabana, the Kiliyah Kerem is asabana. But if you would sell it, if you had an opportunity to benefit indirectly from the Arla and the Kiliyah Kerem, go for it. It's not going to be awesome. It's for that reason, if you sell the Arla and the Kiliyah Kerem, you want to be Mekadosh and Isha with the money, it's okay. So again, what's Pshat in the Mishnah? Why is it Aser? I understand the Yayin itself is Aser, but why the money that I got paid for working with the Yayin Esech, why should that be Aser? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what. Yayin Esech is related to Avodah Zarah. And although it's true, says the Gemara, that if somebody sells Arla and Kiliyah Kerem, he takes the money and is Mekadosh and Isha Mekudeshes, you see from there that the Isur Hana doesn't transfer from the Arla to the money that you sold it for, but there is an Isurei Hana where that isn't true. And that is Avodah Zarah. If somebody would have Avodah Zarah, which is also Asabana, how do you know? So that's Avodah Zarah 101. The Pasuk says, V'lo yidbak biyotcha mu'umim menacher, you're not allowed to have Hana from Avodah Zarah. If somebody would have a Getshka, and he would now sell it, that money would also be Asabana. So you see that although by Arla and Kiliyah Kerem, it's not that way, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, it is that way. Yayin Esech, if you had to compare it, should I compare it to Avodah Zarah, which is Asabana, or should I compare it to Arla and Kiliyah Kerem, which is Asabana? Of course, I would compare it to Avodah Zarah. Now again, Yayin Esech is not Avodah Zarah. Yayin Esech is Tikrovus Avodah Zarah, but it's certainly more related to Avodah Zarah than it is to Arla and Kiliyah Kerem. So says the Gemara, very gishmak. You want to know perhaps why the Mishnah says, Hasaychar Sapoy Lassazima B'Yayin Esech Schara Yasser, it's Midi Dahavi Avodah Zarah. Just like by Avodah Zarah, you find the halach is that if you sell the Avodah Zara, the money is Aser. So too, perhaps, Yayin Nesech, if you would sell the Yayin Nesech, the money would be Aser. And not just that, Asoicher Es Apoil, which is a big Yiddish, Asoicher Es Apoil, Lassus Ima B'Yayin Nesech, if you do work, you get wages for working with Yayin Nesech, that would be Aser as well. But the Gemara says, it's not true, because Vari Shviyas, the Teufis Es Tomeo, I'll give you another example of something that has a certain Kedusha, has halachas that limit the usage that you can have for it. And you see that if you sell that thing, the halachas of the object itself transfer to the money that you got in exchange for it, stating that if somebody would do work with that thing, the money that he would get for the work that he did would not have that status. What does that all mean? Zok Gemara. Very Shviyas. The Teufis Es Tomeo. We know Shviyas has a lot of halachas. So everyone knows that on Shemitah, the land in Eretz Yisrael rests. So just like we rest every 7 days because Hashem rested when he created the world, so too, the land had a rest. V'shav sa'aretz, Shabbos l'Hashem. There was a Shabbos for the Aretz. The land had a rest every seventh year. You weren't allowed to do any avodah. That's the basic halach of Shviyas, but a lot of other halachas of Shviyas as well. For example, if something grows by itself on Shviyas, so those things that grow are governed by a whole Shulchan Aruch. Number one, it's hefker. Hefker means that even though I own the field, and what grew in my field, anybody can come and anybody can take that field. Number two, the food itself that grows has to be used to eat. It can't be used for something else. So though it's hefker, anybody could be zoich in it, but it doesn't mean that you can take the fruit, sell it, and now invest the money that you got in exchange for that. It says in the Torah that the food that grows should be la'achla, v'hoysa Shabbos ha'aretz lachem la'achla, and we learn from them, la'achla, v'loy l'schayr. It has to be used, dafka la'achla, it can't be used l'schayr. Another halacha is that the only time you are allowed to have perish shvius in your house is if there was perish shvius available in the field. But once there was no more perish, all the fields in the shtetl were gone, everything had been taken, everything had been consumed, so there was a halacha that everybody had to take the fruit that they had in their house, and they had to put it in the field. So Shiloh, what they did with it, pashut, they made it hefker to everybody, so now everyone could go double dip and take it all over again. Some rishonim hold they would actually burn it. The first halacha is la'achla v'lo l'schayra. The second halacha is what we know as beer. That once all the peiros were gone from the fields, you weren't allowed to be hoarding any peiros anymore inside your house. So those are just some of the halachas that govern perish shvius. So if you have perish shvius, number one, la'achla v'loy l'schayra. You have to eat it. You can't do anything else with it other than eat it. Another halacha, there's something called beer. Once there's no more peiros, there's a din, you have to take those peiros, you have to put it out. So question is, what happens if somebody has peiros shvius and he sells it? The halacha is toifes es domeo. The same halachas that govern peiros shvius will now govern that money. Meaning that money has to be used la'achla. You can only buy food that you're going to eat with it. You can't do anything else with that money. Additionally, the food that you're going to buy with that money is going to be subject to the laws of beer. You could have thought the peiros itself are subject to the laws of shvius. But if I sold the peiros shvius and now I have money, meichetesi, that's the chiddush. Harei shvius, the tefes says to me, so that's clear. Shvius is like avodah zarah in the sense, avodah zarah is asabana. You sell the avodah zarah, the money now becomes asabana. Shvius has halachas such as la'achla v'lei l'schayra, halachas of beer. If you sell the peiros shvius, those halachas transfer over to the money. But tonight, yet we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody goes over to a worker and he tells him, hey lach dinar zeh, this is a Shemitah year. He says, take this dinar, l'koit li boy yerek hayoyim. I want you to use this dinar to go get me a yerek. Go chop for me a yerek from the field and do it today. Halach is chara yasa. L'koit li yerek hayoyim. If he says, not l'koit li boy yerek hayoyim, but rather he says, l'koit li yerek hayoyim, he left out the word boy. In that case, chara motor. There the halach is, the chara is going to be motor. Says Rashi, what's the chilek if he says l'koit li boy or if he says l'koit li yoyim? L'koit li boy, Rashi says, loshen mecheru. The mashma l'koit li shivu yerek. The way we tied up what this person was telling his payol was, I'm giving you a dinar. I want to buy a yerek from you. So go take a yerek. It's hefker. Everything. It's shmita. You can take whatever you want. Go chop a yerek. Here's the dinar. I'm going to buy it from you. The halach is schar yasser, because you're not allowed to buy peiros shvius. So as a result, everything is going to be a problem. If, however, he didn't say the word l'koit li boy, that, says Rashi, is loshin schiros, v'loy loshin mecher. So that's if he's saying, you know, I want to hire you, I want you to do work for me, do me a favor, I'll pay you for the day, go get me a yerek. That already is going to be okay. Scharim mutter, meaning the money that the payol is going to get for the work that he did with peiros shvius is going to be mutter. It's not going to be subject to the laws of shiz. What does mutter mean? You're not going to have the halacha of la'achla v'loy l'schayra. It's not going to be subject to the laws of beer. What you see over here is that even though shmita, peiros, if you sell it, the halachas of shvius transfer over to the money that you got in exchange for what you sold. But that's only true if you sold it. But if you would do work with peiros shvius, the kedusha of shvius would not translate to the wages, to the money that you got for working. So again, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and the question was, why is schar yasser? So the Gemara says, maybe the reason schar yasser is midah d'havi avodas kechavim. Avodah zarah is asabana. If you sell the avodah zarah, the money then becomes asabana. So doesn't it make sense that yayin esach should be the same thing? Okay. So that we should now take it to the next extreme and say that just like if you would sell the yayin esach, the money that you would get for selling the yayin esach would be asabana. So too, if you do work with yayin esach, the wages that you get should be asabana. But zok the Gemara, I'll show you precedents where your logic falls. Because shvius, the halach is that if you sell peiros shvius, the kedusha shvius transfers over to the money. Yet if you do work with peiros shvius, scharei mutter, the kedusha does not transfer over to the peiros shvius. So you see that there's a chilek between selling something versus working with something. If I sell something, it could be the Kedusha transfers over to the money that I sold it for. But if I work with something, the Kedusha doesn't necessarily transfer over to the wages that I got. So again, Hadra Kusha L'duchte. What's pshat in this Mishnah? Ha-soichra sapoyer l'asasim b'yayin esech, schara yasur. Why is schara yasur? Granted the yayin esech is asabana. And granted, maybe if you sold the yayin esech, the money should be asabana. But what's the precedence to say such a chiddush that if I even did work with the yayin esech, the money that I got paid for working on these barrels should be aser ba'anah as well. Amr Abavo, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, you have to say, we're so stuck. Knas u'shekansu chachamim b'chamorin u'b'yayin esach. It has to be a knas. That's the only way out. It must be that Enochanami and Svara and logic, based on a good understanding of all the sugyas of Yisuri Anah and Shas, it really doesn't make any sense that this char should be aser. Rather, it's a knas. It's a din derabanan. There's no merit to it, really. But the chachamim felt that we want to distance people from Yayin Esach. Right? We've been talking about that's the theme of how Chomer Yayin Esach is. This is just another example of how Chomer Yayin Esach is. That if you're going to do work with Yayin Esach, we're going to cancel you, we're going to take away your money. But if you look closely, Rabbi Yochanan said, Knasu shekansu chachamim b'chamorin u'b'yayin esach. He mentioned something else, chamorin. Chamorin is not our sugya. So it says the Gemara, Yayin Esach adamor. We know what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said the knas of Yayin Esach. He meant our Mishnah. Chamorin mayhi. What's chamorin? Tani, we learned in a braiso. Ha-chamorin shayo isim alocha b'peir shviyas. So these chamorim were people, they were in the logistics business. So they used to transfer payers from place to place. And they were working with payers shvias. So they were hired to transport payers shvias from place to place. Says the Braisa, schoron shvias. Their reward is shvias. That's pretty ambiguous. What does that mean? It's just simple ivritaych. Doesn't mean that if you have a field, you have payers shvias, and you want the payers to go from point A to point B, you have to pay your people that are working for you, you can pay them with payrish fias. The Gemara says, there's no way that could be what the price means, because nimtzo ze payrish fias. Because it comes out, you're using payrish fias to pay a debt, to pay an employee. That's shvias 101. You can only use payrish fias to eat. You're not allowed to use payrish fias to pay somebody for transporting something for you. Elo, maybe what it means is something else. Not schoron shvias, that you're allowed to pay them with perish shvias, but rather the kadosh schoron b'ktusha shvias. Maybe what it means is that if you paid them regular money out of your pocket, the money that they get is now going to have the laws of shvias. It's going to be subject to hilchas shvias, because being that they're getting paid for working with perish shvias, so therefore the money that they get will be subject to the halachas of perish shvias. But could that be true? No. Mi kadosh, we just said not that way. But Tanya, we just learned this price. So the Gemara Chaz is the price that we just brought. What does that mean? Boy is a lashon mecher. You can't sell perish shvias, or you could. But if you sell perish shvias, the money that you get is going to be subject to the laws of shvias. But if you hire somebody to work with perish shvias, schari moter, because that's so indirect that you don't have that halacha. So what's going on over here? Hachamarim shayu oisim halacha b'peir shvias. They were working with peir shvias, schar and shvias. Mora says there's two ways I can read this. Schar and shvias means that you can pay them with peir shvias. That's a problem, because peir shvias l'achal v'lei l'schayra. Maybe what it means is the money has kedusha shvias. That's also a problem, because it's connected to mefurish b'raisa. We have machlokes abaye v'rova now to explain this price. So, Amr abaye lo yilam yavinu l'schar mepeir shvias. What the price means is you can give him peir shvias. Udika kashal chayas a good kashal l'achal v'lei l'schayra. How could you pay with peir shvias? Zok the gemara yavin alei betzad heter. You did it in a way that it's mutter. How is it possible for it to be mutter? Kiditanan. So the gemara is going to introduce us now to a legal loophole that was actually okay to do, given certain parameters, to be able to use your payer shvias for something other than shvias. And the precedence is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Maaser Sheni. A person is not allowed to tell his friend, Haleli peiros halalu Yerushalayim, take these payers, bring them up to Yerushalayim, L'chalik. And when you go up to Yerushalayim, I'm going to give you a chalik of the payros that you transport. So we know Maaser Sheni had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. You had two options. If you had Maaser Sheni, in terms of what you could do with it. Either you could take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it. Chomim, the Torah wanted that Peiros should be eaten in Yerushalayim, kedei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim, the Peiros, to beautify Yerushalayim. So there was an idea, take your Peiros up to Yerushalayim and eat it. But what if you live, it was hard for you to do, or you have too many Peiros? So there was an Eitzah, you could be Poida, the Peiros Maaser Sheni. Poida meaning transfer the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni onto money. The peiros are now chulin. The money now has kedushas maaser sheni. When you get around to it, you'll take the money, which is easy to transport. Additionally, it doesn't spoil. You'll bring it up to Yerushalayim, and you'll buy food there, Lav Dafka Peres, and you'll eat the food over there. What happens, this is a Yid who wanted to take the original Peres up to Yerushalayim. So he hires a company, a moving company, and they're going to go, they're going to take his Peres up there. How am I going to get paid? So he says, very simple, when you get up to Yerushalayim, just take some of the Peres, that's how I'm going to pay you. So the Mishnah says, that's actually okay. But you have to be very, very careful with the way you word it. The reason you have to be careful with the way you word it is because if it's going to seem, if the contract's going to read that you're taking some of the Peres Ma'aseh Sheni and you're paying the worker, the moving guys, for the work that they did, then it looks like you're using Peres Ma'aseh Sheni to pay a debt. You can't do that. You're only allowed to use Peres Ma'aseh Sheni to eat, similar to Shvias. It's a din l'achl. You have to eat the pears. You can't use it for anything else. Avaloi v'lei, say, how do you do it? You tell them, Haleim lo'ochem l'shtoisim yishlaim. You bring it up, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to eat together. I'm going to make a big meal. I'm going to invite you to my meal. You're going to be my guest. I'm not paying you for the work that you did. So you're sort of wording it in a way where it looks like I'm just going to give you a matana for what you did. I'll invite you to my suda. We're going to eat together. But it's not going to be b'toiras Priyas Chayv, at least that's not the way the contract's going to read. I'm going to give it to you more as a gift. As a gift, that you could do. That's not a problem. Abayi says if you could do that with Ma'aseh Sheni, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do that with Shvias either. So it's the same exact halacha. There's a guy, he has a field, he has Peres Shvias, he wants to get it from point A to point B. He wants to pay his chevra from the Peres Shvias. Problem is, at first glance, it's an issue. You're not allowed to do that. La'achav le'ilas Chayv. It's not that bad, it depends. Ooh, not so fast. Hire a good Jewish lawyer. He writes the contract and he tells you how to do this. If the way the contract's going to read is I'm going to pay you from those payers, yeah, that's a problem. Just like with Ma'aseh Sheni, it doesn't work here either. He words it in a way where I'm not paying you, relax, I'm going to give you a matan, I'm going to give you a gift, we're going to come together, we're going to eat, we're going to have a good time, wink, wink. The bottom line is, you know, if as long as you do it the right way, in that case, it's going to be okay. And that's essentially what the Mishnah, Braisa was saying. Abayi is saying, that Braisa is saying the same thing the Mishnah is saying in Ma'aseh Sheni, that there's a way to circumvent the basic halach of la'achla v'lei l'schayra. If you're hiring a worker and you want to pay him with Peres Shvias, just like you do it with Peres Ma'aseh Sheni. Rabbam said a different shot. La'olam the kodesh b'kedusha Shvias. What the Mishnah means, or what the Braisa means when it says that hachamarim shoyo'isim alachim b'peres Shvias, charen Shvias, it means that the work that they get, the money that they get paid for the work that they're doing, is kodesh b'kedusha Shvias. What was the problem? Ooh, they call kasha l'cha payol. Why is it different than the payol? The payol who got paid a dinar to go work and be malakiri Eric, the halacha was chari mutter. He was allowed to have anah from his chas. Zok the Gemara, it's true. Payol do nafish agrei. Payol doesn't get paid a lot of money. What did he get paid? He got paid a dinar. Like unto Rabbanan. Rabbanan didn't feel that they had to impose a knas. But chamorim, the nafish agrei, these chamorim, the movie businesses, we have to ask Ari about this, Ari Boyer. But the movie business, which is apparently more lucrative, so they got paid real money. They're making big bucks. So if they're getting paid serious money, so that is a more significant amount of money that's involved. They already, the Chachamim felt that they wanted to impose. Just like the Poyol is allowed to benefit from the work that he did with Peres Shvias, these Chamorim should be able to benefit from the work that they're doing with Peres Shvias. Why then does the Braisa say Shvias Scharon, that their Schar is Shvias? Because it's a lot of money. The Chachamim imposed a Knas. Either way, what do you see? So you see from here a Braisa that discusses a Knas that the Chachamim imposed on the Chamorim. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. That's the rest of the story. Again, Rabbi Yochanan said, Knasu shekonsu chachomim b'chamorin u'b'yayin nesach. There were two examples where money technically should have been mutter bahano. You should be able to do with that money whatever you want to do with that money. But so the Chachomim went, and the Chachomim said, it's going to be us. What were the two examples? Yayin nesach and chamorim. Yayin nesach, that's our Mishnah. Adamar. Asoicher es hapoyu lasasim b'yayin nesach schor yosser. Why is it osser? Because the yayin nesach is osser bahano? So? And because if you would sell the yayin nesach, maybe it would be osser bahano? So? It's not, you're not benefiting from the yayin nesach. You're not benefiting from something that you got tmuras the yayin nesach. You didn't sell it. This is some indirect benefit. I had a job. I worked. Punked. I picked up a barrel of yayin nesach. I moved it from point A to point B. Somebody gave me a few dollars for it. I can't have enough of that money. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan said it's a knas. What was the knas of the chamorim? It's this braisa
Aliba de Rava, the way Rav explained the Marisa. Hachamorim shayoisim alachim b'perishviyah is schar and shviyah. Why? The schar should be mutter. Work that you do with perishviyah should be mutter. And in fact, it's a mafurish abraisa. Oyma lepoyel, heilach dinar zeh, and he says, l'koit liyerek hayoim scharim mutter. So you see that money that you get paid for doing work with perishviyah is not aser. Why then is that aser? Again, it's a knas. Why the Chachamim make the knas dafka by the Chamorim? Why didn't they say all work that's done with Perish Shvias should be also. It's only the Chamorim. For example, the Poyo, who got paid a dinar, he wasn't allowed to have enough from his money. So the Gemara said, because that's small money. Small money, we let that fly. Big money already, when it comes to Nafesh Agrayu, that's already a different story. Freak the Gemara, one final question on this note. Oy bazoy, umas nisen. Our Mishnah, hasoichar es apoy lasazim ebiyay nesech, doesn't sound like that person is necessarily getting paid big money, and still you see schar yaser. So why don't we say that even though the Chachamim felt it within themselves to impose this knas and say that money that you get paid for working with yayin nesech is aser, so why don't we make the same distinction? Big bucks, yeah, but the payel who's making a few dollars, why is that a problem? When it comes to yayin nesech, any money that you get for working with yayin nesech is going to be aser. When it comes to shvius, which is not as chomer as yayin nesech, there's no tzadav. So there, if we're discussing Nafish Agrayu, did the Chachamim impose the Takana? If it's smaller money, there's no Takana. So again, the Mishnah mentioned the Halacha. HaSoichar es apoyel asazim ebiyayin nesech, schar yaser. We mentioned, right when we saw the Mishnah, spoke at Rashi, who says, ubiyayin nesech mamish ka'amar. The Mishnah is talking about the real yayin nesech, wine that was physically poured, la'avoydah zara. The question is, and that's the Gemara, is he buy it right now, what about Stam Yenam? Or what about Yayin She Yisrael, Shenaga Ba'ev Dikichab, which we've seen countless times in Masech Tzavay Dazara, has halachas of Yayin Nesech? Are you going to have this chumra as well? That if somebody does work with Stam Yenam, the money that he gets is going to be Aseba. No, Ibayil, who Sachre the Stam Yenam. Now, if somebody was hired to do work with Stam Yenam, what's the halacha? Mi Amrinon. Do we say kivan di isure chomer kidiyayin nesech schari namarasar? Do we say that being that the isser of stam yenam is the equivalent of the isser of yayin nesech, just like yayin nesech is also b'shtiyah and also banah, stam yenam is also also b'shtiyah also banah. One midday raisa, one midday rabbanah. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, if you ask a rav, can I drink yayin nesech? He's going to say no. Can I have anav? He's going to say no. If you ask the Rav, can I drink stam yenam? He's going to say no. Can I have anav from it? The halacha is going to be no. It's the same halacha in terms of the iser. So maybe as it relates to this halacha of scharoi, just like with the real yayin nesech, scharoi yasser, maybe when it comes to this form of yayin nesech, stam yenam, the schar is also going to be yasser. There were distinctions, and this was a Gemara on the bottom of Daflamad Amid Beis, where the Gemara discussed that just like yayin nesech is also b'shti and also banah, it's also tame, it's also metama. Yayin nesech, this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseru's halacha, is metama tumas oil even. It's literally like a mace. It's just like a mace is metama tumas oil. Yayin nesech is also metama tumas oil. But that the Gemara said mefurish, that's only the real yayin nesech. Stam yeinam, even though the chachonim were very machmer, and they said that we're going to look at it as yayin nesech, but that's only with regards to the isurim, as it relates to shtiya, hanah. But as it relates to tuma, no, they're already, you're not going to have that halacha. So the Gemara, Oidoma, maybe you could say, being that as it relates to the Tumah, Stam Yenam is not like Yayin Nesach, Afschari Nami Kills, maybe as it relates to the Schar. I mean, on the one hand, Stam Yenam is like Yayin Nesach, it's not like Yayin Nesach. So what about Schar? It's like the Gemara, Tashma, I have a Mefurish Raita, who gave the Agar Arbe, there was a person that rented a boat. He did it with Stam Yenam. So there was a Yid who had a boat, and he leased his boat to somebody, and the person that was leasing the boat was going to use the boat to transport Stam Yenam. Now, he got paid. This was in a barter economy. They gave him chitin. He didn't give him cash. They gave him chitin. And this Yid, who owned the boat, who just got paid in chitin, so he goes to Rav Chizda. He asks Rav Chizda, what do I do with these chitin? Could I have enough from it? Could I eat them? Amalesi, he told him, zil kalino. I'm going to tell you what you have to do. You have to burn it, the kavrinu, and then you have to bury it. What do you see from here? Checkmate. You see from here that even though it was stam yenam, it wasn't real yayin esech, he had leased it out, the money was aser. It was so aser that he had to burn it and bury it. It's pretty intense. But the bottom line is, it's mefurish araya from a ma'aseh shehayah kachayah with Rav Chisda, that the halacha of the Mishnah doesn't only apply to the real Yayin Nesach, but it would apply to Snam Yenim as well. Says the Gemara, b'derech akav, why did Rav Chisda tell him, burn it and bury it? Why didn't you just tell him, get rid of it? So the Gemara says, very simple. He was afraid that somebody would find the chitin, would benefit from it, and you're not allowed to benefit from the chitin. Okay, so why do you have to burn it and bury it? Burn it and then just let it go wherever it wants to go. Because even after you burn it, you could still use the burnt chitin as fertilizer, and you're going to be benefiting from it again. But the Gemara says, okay, so I understand why you have to get rid of it. And just bury it. Why do you have to burn it and bury it? We're trying to take care of every permutation. And the Gemara says, why should this be different from a Mishnah, a Masech to Sanhedrin? The stone that was used to give somebody skill, or the wood that was used to hang somebody that was Chai Mises Bezin, or the sword that was used to kill somebody that was Chai Mises Bezin, or a Suda that was used to give somebody Chenek. Kulam Nikvar. It was all Asabana, and they all had to be buried together with the person. So you see from here that when you have something that's Asabana, you don't have to burn it and bury it. Just bury it. That alone is going to be enough. So, Freik the Gemara, why Rav Chisda say the chitin are asabana? Because the halach of our Mishnah applies not only to the real Yayin Nesach, it applies to Stam Yeinam Ez. Well, okay, so you have to get rid of it. Bury it. Why is it different than the Isurei Hana of the different things that we use to give somebody Mitzvahs Bezdin, where the Mishnah says that because it's Asabana, you have to bury it. You don't have to burn it and bury it. Burying it alone is enough. So why, in Rav Chisda's case, burn it and bury it if over there burying is like the Gemara Hasam over there, the Kokabi Beidina, Muchel Milsa, Daruge Bezdin Inu? What are you worried about? You're worried that somebody's going to see in Bezdin that they buried this Evan, they buried this wood, and they're going to go and take it? Everyone knows if Bezdin's burying something, they're probably burying it because it's Asabana. So maybe they're probably burying because it's Asabana. So burying it itself is enough. You have nothing to be chayish for. Hachel, you know what we're worried about over here? If somebody sees, he's looking out of his window, and he sees his neighbor is digging a hole in his backyard, he's burying chitin. You know what he's going to think? He's not going to think that it's asa bahana, that this yid just came back from Rav Chisda's Beis Medrash, and he got a psak halacha that he can't have anah from it. He's going to think, Emer inchi ganav, v'aisi kav racha. He's going to give him not the benefit of the doubt. He's going to be dan lekav choyva, and he's going to say, this guy's probably a ganav. He must have stole this chitin, so he's hiding it somewhere. Veis vas, I'm going to be a ganav min a ganav, and I'm going to take it, and he's going to end up benefiting from it. So when Bezdin buries something, everyone knows why they're burying it. So what's the chash? Someone's going to see Bezdin burying it, they're going to know it's asabana. But if you see your neighbor burying something, you think he's up to no good. As a result, you may be tempted now to take it. It could be also be Ledei Takola. That's what Rav Chisda said. We're going to be 1,000% sure that nothing ever happened. So number one, we're going to burn it. Number two, we're going to bury it. No way in the world anyone's going to ever benefit from this. The bottom line is, what you see from the Meiser of Chisda is going back to our Mishnah, which is that Asoichar Es HaPoyol Lasei Sima B'Yayin Nesech Schorei Yosir is true not only for the real Yayin Nesech, but it applies to Stam Yenam as well. Either way, this next Gemara is going to really start a new sugya. It's Mei Inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan, but it's going to go really till the bottom of Daf Sanach Gimel Amin Aleph, so we'll already pick up with the next sugya tomorrow. Either way, but before we end, a little bit of rage. This is a pretty intense daf, a daf we have to focus more on the Shakla V'Tarya, more on the Cheshbin, but just a little bit of rage. So the Gemara, when it discussed this idea of something that's Aser Bahana, so you have Orla, Kili Akerim, Avodah Zarah, there's so many examples of things that are Aser Bahana. So that means the Chefetz itself, that's Orla, Kili Akerim, Avodah Zarah, you can't benefit from it. Question is, what if you sell it, and now I got money in exchange? Could I benefit from the money? Or what if I did work with Orla and Kili Akerim, and I got paid as an employee? Could I benefit from that schar? So if somebody asks you that Shaila, tell them, I am Avodah Zarah, Daf Samech Beis. Today's daf, that is the address. That's the Maramachim to discuss this sugya. Now, one thing that was mentioned was a very interesting Mishnah in Kedushin Daf Nun Vav. The Mishnah said, Machron v'kidesh b'dmei mikudesh. If somebody had Arla and Kilei Akerim, he sold it, and he now got money in exchange, and he was mekadesh and isha with the money. The halach is mikudesh. So, stam yisurei hana, the thing itself is asabana, but if you sell it, the money, it won't be asabana. I said, Avodah Zarah is different, and Yayin Esech and Shvius is maybe even more chamer. But in terms of basic Yisuri Ana, L'chura, the starting point of this sugya is that Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin, that if somebody has Arla and Kili Akerim, even though they are Aser B'Ana, If you sell the oil and the kilei hakeren respectively, the money that you get is mutar b'hanah. And what's the Mishnah's way of saying it's mutar b'hanah? You can be mekadesh an isha with it. Isha niknas b'kesef, but something that's asa b'hanah has no value, it's not shava kesef. By saying that she's mekudeshes, that's just another way of saying that she's going to be married. This Mishnah, which is really a Mishnah in Kedushin Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, was also brought down in the Gemara last week, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. This is the second time we've had this in the last few Dafin. Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara brought it as well. And over there, Rashi says a Gevaldig Chiddush. Rashi says that this Mishnah that says you can be Mekadesh and Isha with money that you got for selling Arle and Kilei HaKerem is Vedavka Kedusha Isha. It's only Kedushin. Avul Isanuya Minayu, but to have any other benefit from that money, Midrabanan Asa, is going to be Asa Midrabanan. Gevaldig Chiddush from Rashi. Meaning it's true that you see in this Mishnah that if somebody sells Isuri Anah, the Isuri Anah does not transfer to the money. But stating that, says Rashi, midrabanan, there's going to be issues. A lot of things we can't do are only because the Rabbanan said we can't do it. So this is going to be awesome midrabanan. Either Mishnah says it can be Mekadosh and Isha. So Rashi, the Mishnah means Dafke Kedushin. But as it relates to any other Hana, another Hana, that you won't be able to have. Again, on the Dairaisa level, nothing changes. Avada, you see midrabanan, the Isra Hana relates only to the Chayfetz that's awesome Hana. If you sell the Chayfetz, the money you get is not going to be awesome Behana. Because if there was an issue midrabanan, there'd be no way to distinguish between Kedushin and anything else. So midday rice, it's all mutar b'hanah. But Bazok Rashi, this that the Mishnah says you can't even do it, which suggests that it's not only mutar midday rice, it's only mutar midrabanan. That's only true as it relates to kedushin. But as it relates to any other hanah that you may want to have, that's going to be awesome. The question is why? You know, who asks the kasha? Tosfos. Tosfos says why? I don't understand. What's pashup shat? Rashi left us hanging. Rashi said a very big chiddush and he didn't give us a tam. So says Rashi. It says Tosfos, v'yesh litein tam. I have two svaras, maybe to explain Rashi. Zok Tosfos. Number one, she'ein ha'isha doyme kol kach l'chilufit damen. It could be there's a chilek between using money to buy a chayfetz or selling something, buying something, versus being mekadesh an isha with kesef. But Tosfos also leaves us hanging. Tosfos doesn't really explain what the chilek is. Again, Tosfos' lashon is, v'yesh litein tamu l'chalek, she'ein ha'isha doyme kol kach l'chilufit adam. Inami, says Tosfos, mishum pirya v'rivya l'gazer rabbanan. It could be that being that marriage relates to the first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah pirya v'rivya, so when it comes to pirya v'rivya, you have a man who wants to get married, and maybe this is the only money he has, is money that he got from selling Arlo and Kili Akerem, and if you're going to tell him you can't be Mekadosh and Isha with him, maybe he's going to be Mevatel, the mitzvah pirya v'rivya. So it says Tosfos, when it comes to Pirya V'Rivya, the Chachamim will like Gazru, and over there, it's for that reason maybe it's going to be okay. If you look at Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as Agoyis Yaiv, it's on this Gemara, and Dalet Amud Beis, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, Tosfos is muching what should be the chilek between Kedushin and any other Anah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, nearly Tam Poshet. I think it's very simple. Kedushin is a mitzvah. What are you worried about? You're having Hanah from money that's also Hanah? This is Rosh Hashanah Dav Chavches. Everyone knows the halacha, mitzvah slav lahanis nenu. If somebody benefits from something while he's doing a mitzvah, halacha doesn't deem it as if he had Hanah, for whatever reason. But that's a basic tenet in Shas, mitzvah lahanis nenu. So it says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, being that by being a Kaddish and Isha, you're doing a mitzvah, you have to worry about the fact that it's also Hanah, because mitzvah slav lahanis nenu. So we have extra goals, so and that's what we come out of, right? It's true. That's probably why Tosfos didn't like that. Mm-hmm. But either way, so you have three mahalach. Number one, Tosfos says that it could be there's a chiluk between selling something or using money to buy something versus being mekadesh and isha with money. Number one. Number two, Tosfos, maybe Piri Verivya Shaini. And then Rabbi Yaakov Emden's teretz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that being that mitzvah slav lahanis nitnu and you're using this money for a mitzvah, maybe there it's going to be chiluk. So I just thought we'll speak out one ha'ara on each one of, maybe more than one ha'ara on each one of these three terutzim. Number one. So Tosfos said that it could be there's a chiluk. If I sell arla, I get money for it, and I can use that money now to buy a chayfetz versus using that money to go ahead and be Mekadosh and Isha. It could be there's a chiluk between being Mekadosh and Isha and actually buying something with this money that I just got. That is that we know that halacha is that karka is niknes bekesef. So, b'chosim sheyesh l'machrayis, anikness, b'kesef, b'shtar, b'chazokov. If somebody wants to buy karka, there's three ways you can acquire the karka. From the Kenyan standpoint, this kesef, this shtar, this chazaka, that's what the Mishnah says. The aloch and shulchan aruch is, chalipin also works for karka. What about metaltolin? So metaltolin, you can't buy with karka. Mechleik is Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, that's the first sugi in Perek Hazov, where the dvar toira mois kainis or dvar toira e mois kainis. Rabbi Yechon knows, midday raisa, you could be kaina metaltolin with kesef as well. It's only midday rabbanon that you can't. Karka, you could be kaina with kesef. Metaltolin, coin to Rabbi Yechon midday raisa. Rish Lakish says, even not midday raisa. But metaltolin, you can't be kaina with. Says the sma in the beginning of Chosha Mishpat Simin Kuf Tzadik, a very, very important insight. This that we say that a person could buy karka with kesef, that's only if the money that the person gives the seller is the value of the thing that he's buying. So if somebody's buying a piece of land and the land is $10,000, so if you give the meicher $10,000, so then the halach is that the karka is going to be niknas bekesef. Alternatively, says this ma, or you can make a deposit. But it has to be understood that the money that you're giving is somewhat related to the value of the karka, and it's deemed as if you're paying value for value in terms of what it is that you're getting in return. That's the gather of how Kenyan kesef works. But let's say you're buying a piece of property for $10,000, and you go over to the meicher, he says, I'm going to give you a shava pruta, do meshicha on the shava pruta, let me be koyd of the karka. That already is not going to work. Meaning, even though there's a concept of a Kenyan sudder, and there's a concept of meshicha, we're just some sort of trivial act can somehow trigger a real Kenyan, not by kesef. The way kesef works is it has to be kesef shivu. You have to be paying dollar for dollar, or at the very least making a deposit towards the dollar for dollar that you're going to pay. But otherwise, Kenyan kesef doesn't work. That's the chiddush of the sma. The Taz is matmi on the sma. The Taz says, lo yodati. He says, I don't understand this chiddush of the sma. To me, it's a phenomenal chiddush. I don't agree with this chiddush. And he says, I'll bring you a raya that the sma is wrong. Because everybody knows that isha niknes bekesef, zok the Taz. Vizep posha, the beisha koina isa derech nesina luchud. Loi betere shiva imashu shava. You give your wife a diamond ring. I mean, well, diamond ring. But you give her a ring. What's the ring they give under the chuppah? It's worth $50, worth $100. So you're going to tell me that's what she's worth? The $100 that you're giving her for it? There's no way. That's not what she's worth. Elamai, there's a din. Isha niknes bekesef. You can give an isha shava pruta, that's all has to be in the Mishnah. Even Beishamai was a machmer, so has to be a shava dinar. And as long as she does meshicha on the money, she's going to be mikudeshes. Even though it's understood that the king in kesef, the money that's being given in no way, shape, or form relates to what she's really worth. There's no shaykhis. The point is giving kesef. And look, the Taz, how do you know isha niknes bekesef? Kicha kicha. From where? From Stay Efren. Ah, just like Avraham Avinu was kind of Stay Efren Bekesef, so too Isha is going to be Niknas Bekesef. So you see that the way Isha Niknas Bekesef works is similar to the way Kenyan Kesef works. And just like Isha Niknas Bekesef, it's posh that the Kesef is not Kesef Shivui, then L'chayra, Taina Tataz, the same thing should be true when it comes to regular Kenyan Kesef. So the Sma is saying a Gevaldi Gechidish, that the way Kenyan Kesef works is you have to be paying Kesef Shivui, you have to be paying dollar for dollar. L'chura, Isha niknes bekesef teichiach, that's not the way it works. What do you have to say to answer the smile? You have to say that it's chalak. That even though it's true, we learn isha niknes bekesef from Stei Efren, but at the end of the day, all we're learning is that there's a concept, there's a musag of kinyan kesef by isha, just like there's a musag of kinyan kesef by Stei Efren. But in terms of the mechanics, the lumness of how it works, the Sma knew Kedushin da Bezim Ralf, and the Sma held that Enochinami, when it comes to Kenyan Kesef of Karka, or the Kenyan Kesef of Metaltolin, that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Dvar Torah Mois Kainis, there it works with Kesef Shivoy. When it comes to Isha Niknes Bekesef, there Enochinami, there it's going to work differently. And the truth is that there are many, many rayas. There are many rayas to this Yisoid, that the way Kenyan Kesef works by Ishus is different than the way Kenyan Kesef works when it comes to Mekach HaMemkar. And Enochinami, by Mekach HaMemkar, the money that's going to consummate the Kenyan has to be Kesef Shivoy. But when it comes to Isha Niknes Bekesef, there doesn't have to be any relationship between the money and what the value of what it is you're acquiring is. You give a Kesef, she does Meshicha, you marry her. Why? Kacha. That's the way it works. There's something called Meshicha, there's something called Suder, there's something called Chatzer, there's something called Isha Niknes Bekesef. Just to mention some of the rayas, and this is a little bit of Kedushin 101. Number one, the Gemara says, in Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara has a Havamina, that Isha Niknes Bekesef doesn't necessarily mean that the man gives the woman the money. Whereas the Havamina, that maybe if the woman would give the man the money, that's how she would be Niknes Bekesef. So I saw in the Minchasus,
Yerusha from Asher Weiss and Parshas Chayisara. He says it's a pillow. What's the Havamina? How could it be a Havamina that the way Kenya Kesef is going to work is that the woman is going to give the money to the seller is going to give money to the buyer, and that's how the buyer, sounds like a good deal. So you pay me and I'll buy your thing. Sounds good. So it doesn't make sense. So Zok, Rabbi Asher Weiss, it doesn't make sense if you understand Kenyan Kesef in the conventional way. But if you realize that Kenyan Kesef, when it comes to Ishas, works differently, all it is some symbolic, ritualistic act that's going to be done. So there was a Havamin in the Gemara that maybe it doesn't make a difference whether the man gives the woman the money or she gives him the money. If it's with the Mahalach of there's some barter, I give you money, you give me the Chayfetz, that's how this works. Okay, obviously, then the buyer has to be the one that gives the money. But that's not the way it works. It's a Maisa Kenyan Baal. It's a Maisa Kenyan Baal. There was a Havamin that maybe she's the one that could do the Maisa Kenyan. Another Raya that he brings is from the Gemara Daf Hey Amud Aleph. For the Gemara is a Havamin because of the Hekesh of the Yotzeh V'Hoisa. So there's a Hekesh between Kedushin and Gerishin that maybe a Isha could be Miskareshes with money as well. So Isha Niknis Kesef Shtar V'Chazaka. But Gerishin happens in only one day. It's Beshtar. There's a Havamin in the Gemara that maybe just like Kedushin happens with Kesef, maybe Gerishin should happen with Kesef as well. Tosfos says, according to that Havamin in the Gemara, who would give the money? The man would give the money to the woman. Now, Luchura, if you think of Kenyan Kesef in the ordinary Kenyan Kesef terms, then it should be in the reverse. If she is now going to have an ability to divorce herself Al Yedei Kesef, so she's buying herself back. So now she should be the one giving the money back. Here, you can have your ring back, and, you know, I want my life back. That's the way this should work. But either way, it should go in the reverse. Luchura, why is it working this way? It should be Elamai. Again, you see the same Yisoid. You see this Yisoid that the way Kenyan Kesef works by Kedushin has nothing to do with, you know, no one's buying anything. There's no Kenyan taking. That's not the var. I mean, there's a Kenyan, but it's not in the sense of Kesef Shivui as it relates to Chayshim Mishpat. It's just a ritualistic. Oh, it's a ritualistic act. This is where you are. And that means if you think about it a little bit deeper, it's even more poshut. Because Isha Niktis B'Kesef, what does that mean? That means the man owns his wife. That's not what it means. That's again also Kedushin 101. There's a Kenyan Ishus with regards to the halachas of Truma. Maybe that can't be Makabel Kedushin from somebody else. There's so much rate. Again, this is the Hakdomish here when you learn Masechtas Kedushin. But the point is, the Kenyan is not an ordinary Kenyan. The Gedder of the Kesef is not an ordinary Kesef. What does it have to do with our Tosfos? Tosfos is clearing over here. Tosfos wants to know if somebody sells Arlen Kiliyah Kerem and now I got money for it. So the question is, what can I do with this money? The Mishnah says you can be Mekadosh and Isha with it. What about buying something? So Rashi says, no. Buying? That's already Mochamer. You want to buy a piece of property with it? You can't buy real estate with it. You can be Mekadosh and Isha. Not real. What's the difference? Right? Tosfos says, Manavshach. If it's Asabana, if the Rabbana wanted to make it Asabana, let them make it Asabana. And Tosfos very cryptically said, V'yeshlitin tam ulechalik she'eno Isha doi mekol kach lechalife hadam. What does Taisus? I think this is what Taisus means. That when you buy karka, so again, it's barter. That's what it is. So I give you the money, and in exchange for the money that I gave you, you're now giving me the land. So you're going to be machlif now, to a degree. The money for the property, that's something that you can't do, because the money was chalipin of the original Isuri Hana, and now you're going to be machlevit for something else. So there's some sort of she'eris, there's some remnants of Isuri Hana that you're going to have and the thing that you're going to buy with the money that you got for selling the cheshbin, the Isuri Hana. But if you're going to take the money to be Mekadosh and Isha, the woman that you're acquiring with this money is not chalife hadamim. Because it was never like a dollar for dollar barter type of concept. What it is more simply, I just used this to do some ritualistic maisa, and in exchange, I got married. The Isha is never going to be deemed as being chalipin of that money. If she's not going to be deemed as chalipin of that money, there's not going to be any Isuri Hana issues from being married to this woman. As a result, it's not going to be a problem. That's by far the most lumdish of the three haras. Either way, that's the first har. Taiz gave a second har. Taiz said that maybe there's a chilik between using the money to be Mekadosh and Isha versus is using the money to buy something. Taisa said very simply, Mishum Piriya Virivya, like Gozer Be'erban. Could be, it's very simple. One comes down to Piriya Virivya. The other one is you want to buy a piece of property. Buy a piece of property, find money that's not Asa Bahana, that didn't even come from Yisuri Hana. You want to get married. You want to be Mekayim, a mitzvah, rabba, leso, vero, leshevis, yitzara. That already is going to be different. And again, just to chazer over, there's many, many Mar Mekayimis in Shas where you see that when it comes to Lisa Isha, to get married, when it comes to Piriya Virivya, that the Chachamim were Mekel. Number one, we all know the Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Chagiga, the Chatzi Evet Chatzi Ben Chayrim. So what's he supposed to do? He can't get married. So it was Machloikis, Beshamay, Beisil, V'chazru, Beisil, V'chayrish, Kedimri, Beshamay, Koyfen, Esrabay, V'koytzav, Leget, Shichr. And even though if somebody's Meshachar and Evet Kanani, he's over in Aseh,
But at the same time, for the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya, the Chachamim said that it's going to override the Isser of La'olam Behem Tavoidu. Another Maramakim that comes to mind is Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, La'yimkar Adam Sefer Torah. Person Allah sell a Sefer Torah. Ella, Lil Moy Torah, Velisa Isha. Another Gemara that comes to mind is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that a Koyein is not allowed to be Matama. He can't even be metama to something that's only tummy b'drabanan. However, a kohen is allowed to be metama to tummy b'drabanan, such as to go to chutz la'aretz or to go into a beis apras, which has tummy b'drabanan, lilmay Torah, the lisa isha. In those cases, it's going to be okay. By the way, another maramakim is actually a tosfos right here on our gemara daf samach beis amar alef. We spoke a lot about shvius earlier. Tais asks Akasha from a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, where it's Mefurish in the Gemara, HaMekadish BePeiros Shvius Mekudeshes. It's a Mefurish in the Gemara. The Gemara brought a Mishnah, and the Gemara said, Shmami no klas. You see three things from this Mishnah, and one of the three things that the Gemara said that you see from the Mishnah, Shmami no, HaMekadish BePeiros Shvius Mekudeshes. And Tais just goes crazy. HaMekadish BePeiros Shvius Mekudeshes, La'achlav Aloy Laschaira. So Tais says, maybe Peri Yashani. Maybe because it's it's gonna be different. It's the same Tosfos on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, albeit from a different perspective. But the point is that you see this idea that when it comes to Pirya Verivya over there, maybe it's gonna be different. Well, you have to speak out every time you mention this is the she'iltas that Tosfos brings in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The context over there was discussing going to Chutz La'aretz. A Kohen can't go to Chutz La'aretz because Chutz La'aretz is Tumah D'Rabbanan. Stating that Lo May Torah V'Lisa Isha Yikud, and the she'iltas says something that's Sisrei Torah. The she'iltas says that when the Gemara says Lo May Torah V'Lisa Isha, it doesn't mean only Lil May Torah V'Lisa Isha, but rather what it means is Hanoch Tekili V'Kolshke L'Shar Mitzvah Yishnehem Chashuvos. It means even for Lil May Torah V'Lisa Isha, but certainly for other mitzvahs that are more chashuv. It's a she'iltis quoted by Tosfos on Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Sisrei Torah, there's so many marmakoimis that Lumay Torah, for sure, Talmud Torah Kenegat Kulam, and Lisa Isha, Mishon Piri Verivi, we just mentioned two Taisvus in right now. Nundal Amid Beis and Avay Dazara, Samich Beis and Alphan Avay Dazara, here you have Yud Gimel Amid Alphan Avay Dazara, not that way, so either way you have to say Pshat, it's Sisrei Torah the Shultis, Mitzvah Yasha, but either way, just one final Ara, and that is the lightest Ara. So Yaakov Emden said, I think Teretz Tais is really Pashat. It's very, very simple what the Teretz is. Teretz doesn't understand why there should be a chilek between having Hana from the Orla and the Kilei Akerem after you sold it to be Mekadosh Isha versus something else. Because really you can't have Hana midrabanan. But if you're getting married, you're not having Hana. Because mitzvah slav lahanis nitnu. So being that mitzvah slav lahanis nitnu, it's not deemed Hana. No, so Yaakov Emden understood that to get married, to be Mekadosh Isha, is a mitzvah. Now what's the makar? Is getting married a mitzvah? So Pirya Verivya, of course, is a mitzvah. But the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya, you're not Mekayim until you have a ben and a bas or two banim. But the point is, you're not Mekayim the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya when you stand under the chuppah. Is getting married a mitzvah or is getting married not a mitzvah? So what's the first maramakim? What's the first place you have to run? Is the beginning of Perek Ish Mekadosh. Ish Mekadosh Boyu B'Shluchai. Zech the Gemara. If Mekadosh B'Shluchai, why did it say Boy? Mitzvah Boy. Yai said it B'Shluchai. Because it's a mitzvah to do it yourself versus to do it with a shliach. Because when it comes to a mitzvah, it's better to do the mitzvah yourself than to delegate it to a shliach. So you see that getting married is a mitzvah. Now the emes, if you look in the Ran says, it's not, really not a mitzvah, Kedushin. Why should Kedushin be a mitzvah? It's only a hechsher mitzvah. And even by hechsher mitzvah, you have the idea of mitzvah by yaisa mi b'shluchai. If that's the case, though, if Kedushin is only a hechsher mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. You're going to tell me that mitzvah is lav lahanis ninu, even when it comes to a hechsher mitzvah? A mitzvah itself, for sure you say mitzvah is lav lahanis ninu. What about a hechsher mitzvah? Yaakov Emden says, you know why Kedushin wasn't an issue? You know why you can mekadosh an issue with money that you got for selling? You know what the reason is? Very simple. Because mitzvah slav lahanis nidu. One second. Are you doing a mitzvah? You're going to tell me, yeah. Kedushim em beizam an aleph. Mitzvah by yaisim b'shluchai. But yeah, but I saw the Ran. And the Ran over there says it's only a heksha mitzvah. So for mitzvah by yaisim b'shluchai, yeah, that applies even for heksha mitzvah. Dosh tein Ran. But what about for mitzvah slav lahanis nidu? We're going to walk away from this yaivitz with a nice smar makim that you have the idea of mitzvah slav lahanis nidu even by a heksha mitzvah. So, it's not muchach, you have to say that. Because although the Ran says that marriage itself is not a mitzvah, it's only a hechsher mitzvah. However, the Rambam Luchura seemed to have argued. And the Makar
to that Rambam is really the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Rishos. The Rambam talks about marriage and says the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, V'likuchin Elu Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah. Pretty straightforward. It's a Mitzvah Saseh. Others say that's not what the Rambam means. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. V'likuchin Elu Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah. It's an Arichos Ve'en Kam Mekayim L'Harech. But I'll tell you that even though that maybe there's a little bit of ambiguity in this Rambam, but there's another Rambam, a Rambam in a letter, a Rambam in an Igeres, where the Rambam seemed to be pretty, pretty clear that the Rambam held that it's a mitzvah to get married. We all know the Gemara in Saita Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Arbam Yom Kodi Mitzias Avlad, there's a baskel that says, Bas Ploini Leploini, Bayis Ploini Leploini, Sada Ploini Leploini. The Rambam in a letter wrote that Gemara is Shalali B'dehilchasa. It's not true. Everyone knows the Gemara, but it's not true. It's something that's often quoted in Sheva Brachas Torah, but in Halacha L'Maisa, you could say it in Drush. But it's Nishtemes. It's not true, says the Rambam, that Arbaim Yoim Koidim Yitzir Savlad, there's a Baskel that says Bas Ploini Ploini. Says Rambam, how do I know that? He says, I'm going to do a little bit of arithmetic with you. Because we know that marriage is a mitzvah, says the Rambam. To get married is a mitzvah. And Hakobi de Shamayim chutz miyir Shamayim. That means there's no way there's a baskel that says that Ploini that's going to be born in 40 days or whose Yetziras HaVlad is going to be in 40 days is going to do a mitzvah. Because you have bechira, you have free will to do a mitzvah. And just like the baskel doesn't say whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, the baskel can't say who's going to marry who. Because what if Chanyanko wants to get married and Rachel doesn't want to get married? So there's no way that it's not possible. So Zok the Rambam, bechira is the one that tells me that this Gemara can't be. It's not possible. It can't be true. I'll leave it to Ilchasa. I, the Bryce says, Dr. I'm out of it. But the bottom line is, there's no such thing, Bas Ploini L'Ploini, because marriage is a mitzvah. Marriage is a mitzvah. Thus, a person has Bechira yet to get married or not to get married. So there can't be a Baskel that says who's going to marry who, because maybe one of them is not going to want to get married. So Dr. Rambam, it can't be true. Rabbi Chanan, in Kovitz Mamorim, he's very bothered with this Rambam. He says, I hear the Rambam's kasha. Rambam has a good kasha. How could the Braisa say Bas Ploini L'Ploini? I marriage is a mitzvah. A mitzvah boy, Yosem B'Bishluchai. A befreit Rabbi Chanan, you have a kasha? So you mecha is a Braisa? Is that what you do? You have a kasha? So you say, okay, this Braisa is not true. Can't do that. You have to say a pshat. So Rabbi Chanan says, I'll tell you a pshat. The Gemara says in Mesechtes Kedushin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and it's also Gemara in Mesechtes Moikotan, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, a well-known Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eloi says, if a person finds himself in a situation where he's having a difficult time overcoming his Yetzirah, in Raya Adam, she Yitzirim is Gabriela. He said he can't overcome his Yetzirah. He's tried, he learned Musar. He did everything he could possibly do. Rabbi says, the Yetzirah is too strong. So what he should do is he should surrender. He should go to a place where nobody recognizes him. He should put on black clothing. He should cover his head with something black. And he should do whatever he wants. But don't be Michal Shem Shemai. Now, if you look at Tosfos says, because of Rabbeinu Chananel, Chas V'Sholem, Loihuto Loilasis Aveira. Don't take this Gemara literally. Don't think the Gemara says if a person finds himself in a Shvach HaMament and he just can't overcome his Yetzer, no matter how far he does, just give up, surrender, just go to a place where nobody recognizes you, incognito, and do whatever you want. Chas V'Sholem, that's not possible. Elo, you know what the Gemara means? Ayidei Kach Yichna Libar. If you're going to go, and you're going to be Mechas HaShchoirim, you're going to be Yisatif B'Shchoirim, you're going to go to a place where nobody recognizes you. You're going to go into the proverbial gullus. Oh, you're going to go to a place like that. So over there, it's going to be much easier for you. It's an etza how you should overcome your etzahara. But Avada Gavis says, Toisvis B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, doesn't mean that if you find yourself in this situation, you can do whatever you want. I saw the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai says that it's meduyik v'yasem mashali b'chafetz. He says, because what does a person, a yid's heart, really want to do? A yid's heart wants to do the right thing. Like the Rambam says in Perek Beis Hilchos Geirush, that deep down, a person, because the real rotzen of a yid is to do what he really. That's the teeth kind of mashali b'chafetz. It doesn't say mashali b'chashak. That's really what it should have said, says the Ben Ishchai. When he has a taiva, no, don't do what you have a taiva to do. You'll do mashali b'chafetz. Like Tosfos says, you're going to come to a point where you're going to be able to overcome Yetzirah, you're going to tamp in to what you really want to do, because deep down, that's what every yid wants to do. Azoi shteitin Tosfos. But if you look at the Rif clearly didn't learn the Gemara that way. Because you know what the Rif says? The Rif brings Rabbi Law, and the Rif says the Halacha is not like Rabbi Law. You know why the Halacha is not like Rabbi Law? Because, says the Rif, we paskin hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. We paskin a person as Bechira. So how is it possible that Rabbi Law felt that it's possible to be in a situation where you can't overcome your Yetzirah? So what are you going to do? Just surrender. Just give up. As if to say, you really realize that you were put on this world to do Averis. You can't overcome Yetzara. So go surrender. Zok Terif. That can't be emes, because we hold a person as Bechira. And being that a person has Bechira, you can never find yourself in this situation. Zok Rabbi Chanan, it's a little teeth. There's a little geschmack here. Zok Rabbi Chanan, the Rif learned the Gemara not like Tosfos. The Rif learned that the Gemara means there's a guy who sees he can't overcome his Yetzahara. You know what? He came to the Akara? That he obviously really can't overcome his Yetzahara. He can't. It's not possible. Not go someplace else and overcome Yetzahara. He thought that through. He cannot. His libe chafetz is to do an aveira. He cannot overcome his yetzara. So you know what you should do? Surrender. But just do it in a place where there won't be a chil Hashem. But at the end of the day, surrender. There is no hope for you. Zok Terif, I hear there's such a Rabbi Loi, but at the end of the day, we don't paskin like Rabbi Loi. Because we paskin that a person has free will. And if a person has free will, there's no person that was created who was put in a situation where he can't overcome. Everybody can overcome his Yetzara. If that's the case, this is not going to be emes. But Zok Terif Chanon, lomaditi midivrei harif dover gadol, that the Rif held that there's a tan in Shas, his name is Rabbi Loi, who held that a person doesn't have free will. That it's possible not to have Bechira. That it's possible for a person to be born and he actually has, meaning there's no Bechira. We hold HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim, so this is not true Lahaloch. But there is a Rabbi Loi who clearly held not that way. He held that HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Afilu Yir Shemayim, that a person doesn't have Bechira. So let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam held, said that Bas Ploini L'Ploini, even though it's a Gemara, it's a Brisa, so that based on Aleph, it's not true. You know why it's not true? Because a person has Bechira to get married. And marriage is a mitzvah. I mean, a marriage is a mitzvah. How could you tell me? How could you tell me who's going to marry who? Maybe I'm going to decide I want to get married. Frank Tobachani, you're going to wipe out a Brisa? Because you have a kasha on the Brisa? So Tobachanan, the Rambam's not going to wipe out the Brisa. The Rambam knows that in that Brisa, it's mavur, that there's no free will. You know what the Rambam's going to hold? That Brisa is Rabbi Loi. It's Rabbi Loi of my kind of Yazayim al. Who taka holds? There's no free will. We don't paskal like Rabbi Loi. So just like the Rif said that the Gemara my kind Yazayim al, which is also a Gemara in Kedushin of Nevim al, is Shaloi Aliba de Hilchasa. In that same vein, Soita Daf Beis al is also going to be Shaloi Aliba de Hilchasa. But what do you see in this Rambam? Marriage is a mitzvah. That was the Rambam. So the Rambam who said it mefurish in Hilchasichos Perak Aleph Alocha Beis v'lekuchen Evo Mitzvah Sasei Shal Torah. The Rambam said it in the letter, and that's why the Rambam held that this Baskel that comes out, Bas Pliny the Pliny, can't be true. I'll leave it to Hilchas. Let's just speak out one more Geshmaka thing. We haven't really gone over time in a while. So just one more Geshmaka thing, and that is on the note of marriage being Bashert, quote unquote, hashtag Bashert, or maybe not. I mean, the Rambam seems to have poured a little bit of cold water on this whole concept of Bashert. There's a Baskel that says Bas Pliny the Pliny. So the Gemara says Zivig Rishay, not Zivig Sheni. But now the Rambam saying even Zivig Rishay. So what's going on over here? So I'll tell you just another fascinating Gemara Malkin. Parshas Chayesara. Avram Avinu sends his trusted Eved, Eliezer, to go find a wife for his son Yitzchak. And he makes him swear, Simna Yotcha Tachas Yurechi, Benekitas Chayfetz. Right, we learned the sugi together. Pesach Teshvuas. Vashbiyach HaBashem, Elokei HaShemayim, Velokei HaAretz. Avram Avinu turns to Eliezer because I want you to swear in the name of the God of Shamayim and the God of Oretz. Ashalosikach isha livni b'bnei saknani, that you will not take a wife of my son Yitzchak from the b'nei saknani, asher niyoich shev b'kirbay. Make sure you do not take a Canaanite wife of my son. He made him swear. He made him swear, Bashem, Elikeya Shamayim, Velikeya Oretz. Eben Ezra says something very, very mysterious. Zok Eben Ezra. V'tam Elikeya Shamayim, Velikeya Oretz. Zok Eben Ezra. B'mokim hazeh. In this place, Ki bas ploini la ploini ba'oretz min ha-shamayim soite da beza min aleph v'hu soit. It's very unclear what Ebenezer means. Let's read his lashon again. V'tam alikei ha-shamayim v'alikei ha-oretz b'mokim hazeh, because this is going down in Eretz Yisrael. Ki bas ploini la ploini ba'oretz min ha-shamayim. Because the idea bas ploini la ploini in Oretz, in Eretz Yisrael, is min ha-shamayim v'hu soit. Rebbeinu Bechaya, one of the Gedolei Rishayim, brings to Eben Ezra, and he says, I'm going to tell you what Eben Ezra meant. What Eben Ezra meant means, we all know the Gemara at Saita Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Arbam Yom Kodim Mitzias Ablad, there's a Baskel that says Bas Ploini L'Ploini. The Eben Ezra held that's only true in Eretz Yisrael. It's not true in Chutz La'aretz. So if a Yid lives in Eretz Yisrael, he has a Bashert. And over there, you're going to find your Bashert. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's fear game. It's Lav Dafko, going to be Bashert. It's Dafko, Ki Bas Ploini L'Ploini Ba'aretz. And he says that being that Avram is talking to Eliezer in Eretz
Yisrael. It's in Eretz Canaan. Thus, Vashpiyachu b'Hashem Elikei Hashemayim v'Elokei. He's invoking Elikei Oretz because there's an idea of Oretz bas pleni lepleni b'Hashem. You still have to understand exactly what Eben Ezra is trying to say. But this Yisrael, this nugget that you could take out of this Eben Ezra, and that is the Gemara bas pleni lepleni is only true in Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to be true in Chutz Laretz. Now I'm going to tell you something unbelievable. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, also a well-known Gemara. But Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, Kinasa Vinish Itza, when a man would get married, Amrile, they would tell him, Matzah or Maitzi? You were a Matzah or were you a Maitzi? Were you a Matzah, as the Pasuk says, Matzah Isha Matzah Taif? Or are you a Maitzi? You're a Maitzi and Imam Mother, says so Isha. So on the one hand, when you get married, it could be Matzah Isha Matzah Taif. It could be the greatest thing in the world. Then again, it could be Maitzani, and so Isha Marmi Mavis. So in Marava, they used to ask, you were a matzah or were you a maitzeh? So the Sifsei Chachamim, on Brachos Daf Ches Amud Aleph, he says, why did they only ask this question in Marava? Why didn't they ask it outside of Eretz Yisrael? Why only in Eretz Yisrael did they ask the kashas? He said, Gevaldik. In outside of Eretz Yisrael, marriage doesn't happen based on the cruise of Bas Ploini Leploini. It doesn't work with a Mahalach HaBasheret. So what happens? Presumably, people find who they're supposed to find. A good guy finds a good woman and a bad guy, a not such nice woman, and everybody finds one. But in Eretz Yisrael, where there's an idea of Bas Ploini Leploini, in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a concept of Basheret, and when is the Basheret determined? Arbam Yoyim Koydim Yisiris Avla. And at that time, it's a Kobi Dei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Yir Shemayim. So we don't know if you're going to be a good guy or a bad guy. So you could have a Chosh of a person, a Tzadik, who falls in with a Reshanta, and it could be vice versa. Machshefa somehow gets a, anything could happen. Because it's all working with a Halacha Basheret. So in Eretz Yisrael, where it all works with Basheret, Marava, Haviyami, they used to say Matzah or Maitzah. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, Faker, like the Gemara says in Seyit Abayzam and Aleph, when Hashem is Mezavi Gazivu, it's Akoylo Fi Maisav. That's the way you would think it would work. That's the commonsensical way of the way things should go down. It's in Eretz Yisrael, where it's Basheret, where there's no sheiches between who a person marries relative to what his merits are or her merits are. It's over there where they used to ask the question of matzah and mitzah.